Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. So a husband and wife, prior to marriage, decided that he would make all the major decisions. She, on the other hand, would only make the minor ones. So after 20 years of marriage, a close friend who knew them when they married asked the man, "So how's this arrangement worked for you?" The fellow replied, "Oh, it's been great. Why, you know, in all these years, I've never had to make one single major decision." Well, as we enter this new year, the season of Epiphany reminds us of the need to make the right decisions. Our collect for the first Sunday after Epiphany prays this. It's already been prayed. O Lord, grant that they, thy people, may both perceive and know what things they ought to do, and also may have the grace and power faithfully to fulfill them. We are to ask God Almighty to know what we should do and then have the grace to do it. Importantly, the Bible gives us a very special word for making the right decision. It's called wisdom. Biblical wisdom is not the same as secular smarts. The Lord's wisdom, we're told in the book of Proverbs, a whole book devoted to it, begins with the fear of God. Which means if we don't know the Lord, we're already on the path to making every decision wrongly. Biblical wisdom, though, is more than just knowledge, although it includes knowledge. It's really portrayed in Scripture as a skill to think God's thoughts and to do them. One of my professors in seminary used to explain the difference with the analogy of knowing how a circular saw works and the skill of being able to use that saw to make a piece of furniture. The difference between those is the difference between knowledge and wisdom. The season of Epiphany emphasizes the theme of wisdom. Not surprisingly, in the lectionary readings called for in the season of Epiphany, a large portion of it is devoted to the book of Proverbs on a daily basis. And then, specifically, the call for wisdom comes to us immediately on the day of Epiphany, January 6, which we've celebrated. The New Testament lesson for that day and for the first Sunday after Epiphany have the same lessons. They're both from Matthew chapter 2, and it's the story about wise men, magi, wise men. These were great philosopher kings of the ancient world, and yet it was not their human wisdom that led them to Christ, which tells us something. They followed a star, a sign by God. They knew to follow that star because the Old Testament scriptures had come to their part of the world when Israel was in captivity under a king named Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego brought with them the Old Testament scriptures that foretold one day a star would point to the Messiah. They came when they saw that star. The irony of the Magi story is that wise men of the world needed the wisdom of God to find Christ. So do we. Then on the first Sunday of Epiphany today, the morning prayer Old Testament lesson is from Matthew 2, but our lesson that has been read, our gospel, is from Luke chapter 2. And there we see that the Holy Family had returned to the temple to find their son, Jesus Christ, the young Jesus, as the text says, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. How curious. I mean, this scene, why do we have this scene in Epiphany? Well, think of wisdom and what's happening here. In one sense, the inclusion of this passage among the Epiphany Sunday readings might seem to be out of place. What does it have to do, after all, with this season in which it's also called the appearing of Jesus to the Gentiles? That's what happens as one of the emphases in Epiphany. Very simply put, the young Jesus Christ was seeking wisdom. He wanted wisdom. The wisdom of God, irony of ironies, was seeking wisdom that he might grow in his humanity to have that wisdom. The wisdom sections of the Old Testament also help us to understand why Jesus was seeking wisdom and what this has to do with this manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. All of the great wisdom sections of the Old Testament are the periods when, for example, Joseph is taken into captivity in Egypt, or when Daniel and his friends are outside the land among Gentiles, carrying the kingdom of God among the Gentiles. Joseph to Egypt, Daniel and his friends to Babylon. Not coincidentally, it's during those periods that great wisdom literature, the great wisdom literature of the Old Testament, is given to us. And then chief among the wisdom sections has to do with a king named Solomon, who was given what we all dream about. You know, what would you ask for if you had one wish? And this young king, God came to him and said, I'll give you anything you want, just name it. And he didn't ask for money, he didn't ask for fame, he didn't ask for power. He asked God to give him wisdom. And it was under this King Solomon that the kingdom of God grew in enormity out among the Gentiles. So through wisdom given by God, the kingdom of Israel expanded. Therefore, Jesus Christ in his young life, he goes to the temple to learn wisdom that he might know how to carry out his Father's will to the nations, that the promises of God might go forth across the whole earth, for he knew that he was being given to die for the sins of the world. The question is, how would that message get to the world? You see, it takes a lot of wisdom to know how to reach people for Jesus Christ without alienating them, without driving them away. How do we take the message to people who don't really want to hear it and draw them into the net? The answer, it takes understanding and knowledge beyond human understanding. We need to be constantly learning from God to know his mind, to receive wisdom. It takes the wisdom of God for a Christian to make the right decisions. Our reflex on every decision that confronts us in 2017, the first reflex should be, God, what do I do? No matter how big, no matter how small a decision, God, what do I do? I'll assure you, the bottom line will always be better. Maybe not richer, maybe not poorer, but the bottom line will be the will of God, and that's the best. James, in his epistle, promises if we ask God for wisdom, he'll give it to us. God wants us to ask him for wisdom. He created us. He knows better than we that we can't operate just by human understanding. Doesn't mean that human knowledge is not involved. It just means we need more than horizontal knowledge. We need divine leading. There's a story about a proud young man who came to the ancient philosopher Socrates asking for knowledge. He walked up to this muscular wise man and said, "Oh, great Socrates, I come to you for knowledge." Socrates recognized a pompous numbskull when he saw one, and he led the young man through the streets to the sea and told him to go out chest deep into the water. And then he asked, "What do you want?" "Knowledge, O wise Socrates," said the young man with a big arrogant smile on his face. Socrates put his strong hands on the man's shoulders and pushed him underwater. 30 seconds later, Socrates led him up. "What do you want?" he asked again. "Wisdom," the young man replied. Socrates once again crunched him under the water. 30 seconds, 35, 40. Socrates led him up. The man was gasping. "What do you want, young man?" And finally he said, "I need air." And Socrates said to him, "When you want wisdom as much as you gasp for air, then you'll have it." God says that we are to seek wisdom. We are to want it like that ancient King Solomon, more than money and power and fame. We are to want it more than anything because we can't make the right decisions without divine intervention. May 2017 be a year when we seek God for His understanding. Because if we do, He'll give it. Amen. Let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive."